And start talking about the cotton quality on the pulse. And we're just going to go through many miscellaneous pulse qualities. So we've gone through, you know, continuums of how you get to Jing deficiency from expending yin, expending yang, blood unclear, up through ropey. And all of those pulse qualities happen sequentially in their continuum. But there are many other pulse qualities that act distributively that you can have in conjunction with any other pulse quality, but they're not specifically really related to anything that necessarily comes before or anything that necessarily comes after. So I want to talk about all those pulse qualities. Today we'll start with cotton. So cotton quality is wei qi stagnation. It's a quality of sadness, resignation, and disappointment. The thing that the person is sad, resigned, or disappointed in isn't generally repressed. In other words, a person with a cotton quality on the pulse will be able to tell you why they're sad. If you say you seem very sad, why? They'll be able to say, oh, when I was 4 or when I was 12 or this happened or that happened. It's not something hidden from consciousness. It's something present, but it distinguishes itself by their belief that they can't change it through the exercise of their own will. It just is. There's nothing they can do about it. They feel buried underneath it. They've given up in the face of it. The function of Wei Qi is to protect us at a distance. It's a boundary around us. So we talk about Wei Qi being protective energy, and we can liken it to the Great Wall of China. And the idea of the Great Wall of China is that it's very, very far from the emperor. It's very, very far from the heart. Its job is to stop anything from getting into the kingdom long before it would ever have the opportunity to penetrate to the heart. But if there is a trauma that does break through that boundary, and that trauma can be a physical trauma, like an accident, which could be, you know, a skiing accident, falling off your bike, a car crash, and, you know, anything like that. Or it can be a trauma like sexual abuse and rape, which is the crossing of a boundary. Then when the Great Wall of China is broken down, what happens is that the army that was guarding it withdraws to the interior of the country to surround the forbidden city. It does no good once the Great Wall is broken through to reinforce the Great Wall. That would be like getting a cold and having it in your lungs and in your head and taking lots and lots of astragalus, which ignorant people do, right? Our patients say, I got a cold, so I went to the store and I'm taking, you know, all, and you look at it and it's like vitamin C and astragalus and ginseng and all that stuff. And that's not for when you're sick. That's for before you're sick so you don't get sick, or it's for after you're sick to heal. But if the Mongols have broken through the Great Wall and then you just reinforce the Great Wall, you're just sealing them in the country, right? So what happens is the army retreats to protect the emperor, and then you have this hole in the Great Wall that treasures are leaking out through. The country is being plundered and the army has retreated to the deepest interior to protect the heart. So this can be described in part as reversal of yin and wei, where the yin is the good stuff, the nutritive qi that's leaking to the outside. It's your blood. And the Wei Qi, which should be on the outside, is now on the inside. The nutritive Qi leaking to the outside manifests as whining, complaining, victimization, inappropriate sharing. So that could sort of be like going to lunch with someone you just met and having them start telling you all about their psychotherapy. Or revealing to you, like you're just, you go to a workshop and you go out with a group of people and one person starts talking about all their memories of rape that are coming up. And it's just like a social situation, it's not an intimate situation. So there's sort of a lack of regulation of boundary in that way, with a very inappropriate level of sharing. Whining, complaining, victimization. Shen is kind of scattered, can't focus because the boundary is broken, so it's leaking out. And on the outside, there can be some giggling, which and hot flushing, which is called like running piglet syndrome. Giggling is emergent sexuality in like little girls, right? It's the sexual impulse before they go through puberty and around the time of puberty in girls 14, 16, that giggling is sort of like emergent sexuality. And it's appropriate at that time, but in a 30, 40, 50-year-old woman, it's a bit juvenile. It's a little weird. I'm not talking about laughing. I'm talking about giggling and heat rising up from here and feeling kind of exposed. So there can be this, a bit of superficial fire on the outside, and then deep in the inside around the heart, there's this collapsed Wei Qi that manifests as pride, which if you were to give voice to it, it would be saying, fuck you, get the fuck away from me, don't fucking touch me. This manifests on the outside as can manifest as the pretense of relationship, but when you start getting close to the person, there's like a dragon at the drawbridge, really like, get away from me. So the person runs hot cold, is sort of ambivalent about relationship. So what happens is the Wei Qi has collapsed and it's just sitting on the surface of things instead of being out here protecting us. And when it collapses in this way, it stops things, it oppresses. It stops things from circulating. It stops them from moving. And when they can't move, then things build and they grow. When there's not proper circulation, things grow. The heart is like the sun, and the lungs are like the moon, but the lungs are also clouds, and the lungs are associated with Wei Qi, and when that Wei Qi collapses, it's just like the weather outside, like heavy clouds, the sun hasn't been out in a week, people start feeling sort of really, sort of down and oppressed by it all. If you want to get a sense of that, just go visit Seattle. And like if the sun comes out for 3 minutes, everybody like starts pointing at it. When I teach there, mostly I've had, like oddly enough, I've had really good weather most of the time. It's only rained like 2 days out of the like 12 weekends I've gone there to teach over the years. And whenever I'm there in the sunshine, people say, oh, you're so lucky, man. It's like we haven't seen the sun in 3 weeks. There's that kind of gray. So phlegm in the lungs, mucus in the lungs, you have points like lung two, cloud gate. And then you have herbs like banja, huputong. But this is not necessarily, this is what you'd call insubstantial phlegm. So in other words, the person isn't necessarily hocking stuff up. They don't necessarily have a slippery pulse. This is more experienced at a psycho-emotional level of sort of grief, grayness, oppression, sadness, resignation. Okay? So when things don't move, they grow. Where the cotton quality begins on the distal pulses. So it begins superficially on the lung and the heart pulse. And the greater the blow and the deeper the resignation, the deeper it goes into the heart pulse. So you can rate it 1 to 5. 1 would be a little on the surface. 5 would be all the way down through the chi depth. And then the longer it persists, it starts coming down into the middle chow and then into the lower chow. By the time you have as much cotton as to rate it +5, it takes 20 years to get it that thick, which allows you to date in a patient around when the incident happened that triggered the resignation and the sadness. If a patient comes to you and they have cotton +5, you know for sure that whatever happened to precipitate it was 20 or more years ago. So if you get a patient who's 32, and they have cotton +5, you know that whatever happened, happened by the age of 12. Okay? So that's very predictive. On the other hand, if the person is 67 and has cotton +5, it happened before the age of 47, which could have mean it happened at the age of 3, or it could have happened at the age of 41. It's not that predictive then. You just know 20 or more years. The younger the person is, the more it'll... Like, I've literally had patients where I've just said at 12 years old that something happened to you. But the thing is, when it's less than 5, it's very predictive in everyone. 4 is about 15 to 18 years. Cotton +3 is going to be about 10 to 15 years. Cotton +2 is 5 to 10 years ago, and cotton +1 is, 2 years, 3 years to now, relatively recent. Cotton +1 could be last month you failed the NCCAOM exam. Now, most people aren't going to get cotton +5 from that, right? You just would feel a little bit of cotton on the heart pulse and the lung pulse, and you'd know that relatively recently something happened that made the person kind of sad.
Can you do the times again from before on the...
Yeah, and I kind of made them up. So 20... Well, it's not like you're not looking at an oscilloscope, right? This isn't like putting... you're not putting a person on a scale. It's a general, like, give or take 2 years. So +5 is definitely 20 or more. But +4 is like 15 to 20. But that doesn't mean it couldn't be 13 in one person, 17 in another. Cotton +3 is going to be like 10 to 15. Cotton +2 is 5 to 10. Cotton +1 is relatively recently. Cotton +1 is not as long ago as 5 years. If a person has a minor sadness, disappointment, it shouldn't last 5 years. So cotton +1 tends to be last 3 months, last 6 months, something like that. If you have cotton +1 and it's a year old, the person's going to be holding on to it, and it's going to get deeper unless you move it.
So you're saying that cotton +5 is going to be on all positions and all depths?
Yes.
And then cotton +1 is going to be more distal and more superficial?
Yeah, it's going to be more distal, more on like the heart. But you could have cotton +1 on liver. Then there's some sadness around just that. You could have cotton +1 on earth. But generally, it moves distal to proximal. Okay, so the way cotton feels is it feels like a sponginess, like an amorphous substance sitting over the artery. It's distinct from the artery, and it's on top of it. It feels like a sponginess. Look, when I feel this pen, I feel like I'm in direct contact with the pen. The pen has very defined boundaries to me, so when I roll this way, and I roll this way, I can absolutely discern the parameters and the boundary of the whole pen. It's defined to me. But if I put stuff on top of it, like this, and then go to feel it, I can still feel the shape of it, but there's a little bit of like, where's that edge? And that's cotton. And when you get cotton plus five, it's very hard to feel a you don't really feel a well-defined ottering. There are several therapeutic strategies for treating cotton. The main strategy is to disperse the Wei Qi stagnation. The deepest strategy is you have to find out what a person's resigned to and why, and help them reframe their beliefs around it. Now, the capacity to reframe beliefs around it really depends on the level of culture that your patient is at. In other words, if a person has a job they hate that they're resigned to, but it's a single mother and they have four children and they have no education, it's not impossible, but it's not impossible to get to college, but they may have no resources whatsoever, right, to better themselves. And what they're doing they may be working very hard for the family, hate their job, but they have dignity around it, right? Most of the patients I treat aren't in that position. Most of the patients most of us treat probably have enough resources that the things they're resigned to in life aren't significantly socioeconomically decided, but more have to do with just limited belief systems, an inherent sense of limited possibility, a sense of inherent limitation, lack of will, lack of creativity, or they're just holding some thought that defines them that's not real. Right? Like, I can't sing, or I'm stupid, or I have to do this, or I can never do that. It's just some thought that they have for one reason or another. So we want to get to the source of it and help them reframe it. We want to reinstitute the will, which means strengthening the kidneys and strengthening the liver and strengthening the heart, so all those organs can circulate, right? Heart blood circulation, and the kidney has willpower, so we want to reinstitute the will. And the wood is this, like, damn the torpedoes, straight ahead, I'm gonna do it. So we want to work on those organs to reinstitute those capacities to whatever degree the rest of our diagnosis tells us those organs need work. We want to increase the capacity of the digestive system to process the stagnation and to digest the life experience, and we want the metal to be able to eliminate it. Okay, in women with cotton plus five with a deep, feeble kidney pulse, 85% of the time, this is going to be thyroid insufficiency, hypothyroid. And if a woman says, if you find this on a woman and she says she has no thyroid problems, ask her if her mother or sisters have thyroid problems. And 85% of the time, she'll say yes. So then you can see there's a genetic basis and she just hasn't manifested it yet. Therapeutically, to circulate the Wei Qi, we can work with essential oils like frankincense or myrrh. And so just a little bit of them on select acupuncture points, like along the lung meridian, the pericardium meridian, particularly over the Xi Clef points, the Mu points. The Mu points, in my understanding, deal with stagnation of yin, right? So yin in alchemy is conditioning. Yin is all the crap acquired in life that isn't real, that just dulls consciousness from the alchemical standpoint. We can also put these on the upper kidney points and on the back shoe points. And also doing gua sha, which, do you know what that is? That's scraping. Did I ever do that to you? You put oil on and scrape to make a bruise. You know, when you scrape, if that dark, like blood purplish, bluish color comes up, that's good. You just scrape as often as it takes so that no more is coming up, and then you just check every now and then. Do you have a question?
I just want to clarify, when you're saying disperse Wei Qi and circulate Wei Qi, are you...
Well, disperse it it's just circulate it, get it moving again.
Yeah.
So we want to break up the stagnation. So the aromatic nature of the essential oils can cut through it. The aroma can cut through it. There's a Buddhist concept called vasana, V-A-S-A-N-A. And vasana means that once a person has broken a habit, they have to be vigilant because it's likely to return. But the Chinese characters for vasana literally translate as fragrance. I can't remember how to draw the character, but it's a picture of flowers with fragrance coming back. And the idea here is that the ultimate habit is of reincarnating. And so vasana is the fragrance of, it's the beauty of the world that lures us back into another incarnation. It's good to be here. The Buddhists just are downers when it comes to this stuff. Because they lived in a world of dirt and 6-inch worms and parasites and an oppressive hierarchy. It's just should be hard for everyone in this room to relate to the idea that life is primarily suffering. Right? We have it pretty good, wouldn't you say? We get to sit around and talk about this stuff just because we want to. It's not exactly like what's going on in Syria. So if you lived in Syria and some Bin Laden cat came along and said, the primary nature of incarnation is suffering. That's my first noble truth. Everyone would go, yeah, I can totally relate to that. But it's pretty hard for me anyway to relate to it. Vasana, the fragrance of plants, breaks, so the fragrance lures us back. But it's interesting that fragrance from plants, you know, these essential oils are what break up the stagnation so a person can see reality more clearly. Now, there are different kinds of herb formulas for treating this. One way to treat it is to get those organs moving underneath so the pulse gets stronger and the organs can digest and process and move the stagnation. Rectify the will, rectify creativity, get the heart circulating, get digestion working. So one strategy for treating all this is to give tonic herbs to make the pulse stronger underneath. And there's no specific tonic herb. You have to diagnose, do I need to treat the kidney? Do I have to treat the liver? Do I need to treat the heart? Do I need to treat the spleen? Is there qi deficiency? Is there blood deficiency? Is there yang deficiency? What else is there? But the idea is to treat to make the pulse stronger underneath. You're dispersing the Wei Qi with the fragrant oils and with the scraping, but you can also disperse Wei Qi with herbs that are aromatic. So you want to add the correct aromatic herbs to whatever formula. So for instance, the formula that I'm most likely to give her when I see her is a formula called Shi Lu Wei Lu Qi Yin, which is spelled Shiluweiluqiyin, which is known as Donghui 16 formula. And this is a formula that moves qi stagnation, moves blood stagnation, is filled with aromatic herbs to move the Wei Qi stagnation, and tonifies qi and tonifies blood. With that formula, it's a nourishing formula, but has a lot of herbs to move stagnation. And you, to make it a breast formula, you add Ching Pi to it, which is blue citrus, which takes the entire thing to the breast. It moves qi, it moves blood, it moves damp, tonifies blood, tonifies qi, and breaks up the Wei Qi stagnation. That's a breast cancer strategy. But you can add aromatic herbs to any formula that you're giving a person, so long as they jive with the formula and your intention. And there's a really good article by a man named Subhuti Dharmananda. So his name is spelled S-U-B-H-U-T-I, Dharmananda. He runs a company called ITM, Institute for Traditional Medicine, that manufactures the Seven Forest brand of herbs. And he's really brilliant. I don't know why he's never written a book, but he's written like 100 fantastic articles. And if you go to Google him and go to his site and type in aromatic herbs, he's got like a 5-10 page article on there on the aromatic herbs. And it's like, it's definitive. So if you want to understand how all the different aromatic herbs and how they're used and what formulas you can add them to for what, then you go read that formula.
My experience shows that direct moxa also breaks up and circulates Wei Qi.
Yeah, doing it in the right places. So that's fine. But you have to also make the determination here, is the person hot, are they cold? So you can't just say moxa Wei Qi. You also have to, if the tongue is red hot, which it could be, or the person's massively like yin deficient, then I would not necessarily do so much moxa. If, however, they do have thyroid insufficiency, then of course they're likely to be cold and have a pale tongue. And then moxa. So if you're giving like a ginseng-based formulas to tonify, then moxa is probably the right thing to do. Or kidney yang formulas, then moxa is probably the right thing to do. Okay. Another herb formula that can be very good with this is cinnamon twig soup, which is called guizhi tang. G-U-I-Z-H-I-T-A-N-G. Most of the patients I've ever had who do cutting are women. And most of the women that I've ever seen do cutting have Wei Qi stagnation, like serious, like +4, +5 Wei Qi stagnation. And I look at the cutting as like their unconscious way of trying to break through this like deep oppression and get to the heart, which is the blood and the circulatory system, right? And like there's this deep, deep Wei Qi around the heart, which they're trying to cut through to get like access to themselves so they can just feel something, right? So there's this unconscious knowing that there's something between them and the heart and they're cutting through it. And I have found that cinnamon twig soup is very, very good for that. And there's a variation of it with dragon bones and oyster shells. So it's called just cinnamon and DB. Cinnamon twig and DB, dragon bone, oyster shell. So dragon bone are just, they probably originally were fossils of dinosaurs, right? Like some farmer would find a T-Rex in his field, right? And then what it just became is any old bone that you just happen, like old cow bones. It's a source of calcium, right? Source of calcium. And oyster shell we know is calcium. So those are herbs that settle the heart. So when there's this very thick cotton quality and you want to tonify the kidneys to move, and tonify the heart, cinnamon twig soup, among other things, is a primary kidney yang tonic. The person who wrote the formula said, if you try other kidney yang tonics and they don't work, try this. But what cinnamon twig soup does, which is very interesting, is the cinnamon twig is fire and it pushes the wei qi back to the exterior. It puts the boundary back on the outside. But the peony tonifies the blood, the yin, which has been leaking out. So cinnamon twig, dragon bone, oyster shell soup can be good in a person who doesn't have a red hot tongue, right? If they have a red hot tongue, then you wouldn't give this formula. But if the kidneys need tonification and the tongue is not hot, then this can be a good formula for it. And I have seen this like really work very, very well with people who cut, because it pushes the fire back to the outside and then helps them contain the inside and feel like the boundary has been put back in place, and the cinnamon twig, dragon bone, calm the heart. There are other formulas like Nushen San, Nushen San, which translates as woman spirit powder. So Nu is woman, Shen is the Shen, and San just means powder, woman spirit powder, which is also known as Donghui and Cypress. And Donghui and Cypress is a really excellent formula for menopausal women with repressed rage and thick cotton on the pulse. When a menopausal woman has real anger that's kind of repressed and it's just hot flushing, and she's getting hot flushing and it's coming from the liver, and there's a feeling of distension under the rib cage, like pressure, this is like an excellent menopause formula. And it has a lot of aromatic herbs. Cypress, shangfu, is an aromatic herb that opens up the rib cage. And it's described as for having a sausage-like distension at about liver 13, liver 14, gallbladder 24. There's a tightness there. And that tightness is the diaphragm repressing the liver and the anger in the liver. And then now and then it's like you're boiling spaghetti and the pot sort of hisses and a lot of steam escapes and water shoots out all over the stove. And so that's like the hot flash. Like now and then a little bit of it can come out, and it comes out as like a momentary anger, rage, and a hot flash. And this really helps soften the diaphragm, open up the sorrow and the stagnation around here. It has very much to do, sadness and resignation over losing their primary identification, over being soft and juicy, and culture only valuing women for sex and service. So now they're starting to dry up, they're losing their reproductive capacity, and they're having an identity, they're having a hard time making a graceful shift to their identity, to what their new identity will be as a woman who's no longer productive. And they're having a hard time finding self-worth in that capacity. And this formula really helps get rid of the stagnation and empower the more spiritual aspects, because this is an age at which there should be the graceful transformation from fear to wisdom, and they should be starting to find power in a deeper source of the self other than just sex and reproduction, right? There should be a transcendence to a deeper wisdom. Okay, and then just look, any other aromatic formula you think fits the person. And if there's not an aromatic formula, but there's some other constitutional formula, if there's cotton plus five, you want to think to yourself, what herbs can I add to the formula that would be appropriate for the formula in this person that are aromatic?
Yeah, I was just going to add to the discussion that you were talking about essential oils before, and I was listening to a podcast on them the other day, and they were talking about the emotional release that's possible with essential oils, and they specifically brought up cypress, and that when diffusing it or using it otherwise, that this woman had found, actually it was a couple people that were talking about it, had found that it was good for, that people would be experiencing it or using it in some way, and have some event released from the childhood that for some reason that oil specifically took something that they were holding on to from the childhood, which sounds a lot like what you're talking about with resignation or stuck on something, but that the cypress actually would release that.
Who did the podcast? So on nourishingdestiny.com, there's a really nice course with Tiffany and Peter on essential oils that I did with them. So I interviewed them for 2 hours. They put up articles to read.
Cool.
And then there's a whole week of everyone on the site just discussing the use of the essential oils with them. Okay, I think that gets us through Kadhan. So Kadhan means growth, and it doesn't mean cancer. It can be cancer. It often is cancer, but it doesn't have to be. Just finding Kadhan alone, you can't make the diagnosis of cancer. It can mean cancer. It doesn't have to. It can be other sorts of growth. So if you get a woman who comes in, so Kadhan means growth between the age of 40 to 70. So if you get a man or a woman comes in and they have Kadhan plus 5 and they're 32, you know you have at least 8 years till they're likely to manifest the symptom, right? If you have a woman who's 50 and she's never had any growth, you know they're probably that it's either there now or it means any time now. If you have someone who's 60 and they've never had growth but they have Kadhan plus 5, it means there's probably something there. It would be unusual to find someone who is 20 and had Kadhan plus 5, because it takes 20 years and probably nothing happened during birth trauma significant enough for them to have resigned themselves to what happened. Do you understand? It was pre-conscious. They didn't have language yet. So most of the events that happen that are going to trigger Kadhan plus 5 are going to happen subsequent to the onset of language. Because a child prior to language doesn't have a thought process that would enable them to resign themselves. They could get physically injured, bad enough to have had something happen, but not psychologically injured, bad enough. If you're psychologically injured seriously enough prior to the onset of language, a serious psychological injury, then we're talking autistic spectrum or psychoses, right? And the person has more problems than just Kadhan quality. So if you're injured at stage 1, we're talking autism. You're just injured at it. You're going to be embedded for the rest of your life. You're embedded. You never formulated an ego. You're just lost in emptiness. In stage 2, that's psychosis, right? Stage 2 is psychosis. It's a borderline condition where when you're psychotic, you're regressing back to, in quotes, oneness, a pre-personal oneness, right? So the ego is in a borderline condition where it's barely gotten established and then you're injured. And so you just very easily regress back into infancy. So we're more talking about psychological injury at the level that language is forming and cognition is forming, and the person's able to some degree look at life experience, talk to themselves about it, formulate an opinion and draw a conclusion. And that has more to do with like stage 3 level development, which is mythic membership. Mythic membership. It's when you're 4, 5, 6 years old and you want to belong to the gang and belong to the clique and something happened and you felt completely alienated and you just resigned yourself to it. So that would be about the earliest level at which a person's going to be developing Kadhan plus 4 from a psychological issue. I think we did it, yeah.
The talking about the reframing,
yeah,
that bit, you know, I guess some people are more open to that, you know, naturally than others, and you have people that, like, after their first acupuncture treatment, they're feeling like they're on a spiritual journey, and they had a vision of themselves as a Native American at the, you know, Sundance or whatever, and are talking about this, or visited by, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's people who are like, you know, I'm here for my back pain, and you can tell they're really closed off to that, and so I...
Yeah, but you help reframe that for them. I mean, yeah, not everybody wants to work deep, but there is... Reframing can be subtle and profound at the same time.
Yeah.
And reframing is one of the most significant... Reframing is nothing more than creating an appropriate context for treatment to work in. So reframing, like I had a patient coming in recently who was drinking 6 diet sodas a day. And I had to just reframe for her around the whole way she was thinking about it. So there's a chapter in, or at least a section, in my red book, which I think is called The Use of Metaphor and the Therapeutic Use of Language. Some people clearly aren't open to anything, but I'm still always subtly reframing. Reframing can be very subtle. It can be profound and it can be subtle. Mm-hmm. But the people with the most resistance are the people who need the most reframing.
Yeah.
So then it's a subtle art of how to do it. But I don't give up on anybody. I'm always subtly trying to shift things. Okay, so that's cotton quality.